Good morning. The presence of the Lord. You know, Lord, teach me. And let us be teachable. It's a whole lot easier to teach someone when they're teachable, right? When they're willing to be learned, they're willing to be molded and shaped. So may we have that attitude with our God. Lord, just you're the boss. You know what's best. I don't. I just offer myself up. You know, mold me, shape me, use me however you want in ways I don't even realize. Let that be your prayer every morning. And let him use you to make a difference in this world. A difference in this world. Alrighty. Our readings today from 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Our second readings from 1 Corinthians 16, chapter 16, verse 14. Do everything in love. Yeah. And finally, please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did you see a stranger invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he'll say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your words that you have inspired to be written down, that we can hear them, to let them guide our lives and to change us to be more like you. Lord, open up our ears, open up our hearts, so that your words will speak to us even more clearly as we seek you. Amen. And going through 1 John, like I said before, I consider it like the letter of love. That's the recurring theme throughout this letter, is that of love. It just keeps coming back and back. And it makes it sort of hard to preach on in a way because, okay, we've already hit this, you know, love one another. That's the recurring theme. We can't hear it enough, but we get slightly different angles on it, slightly different takes on it too. And that was the case with this. As I'm reading through it, as I'm praying over it, as I'm studying it with others, wow, things opened up that I hadn't seen before. And that's really cool, the living word. Alrighty. Starting out verse 19, we love because he first loved us. We love, just those two words right away. Bang. Okay, it's something active. You can't love passively. You just can't sit back and love. It's something that we are out there actively doing as Christians. Our lives ought to be defined by that. We love one another. We're there for one another. We care for one another. We're being kind to people. That's who we are and what we do. It's our identity. It's our DNA as Christians. And we love because he first loved us. He set the example. If you had never been loved, you wouldn't really know what love is, would you, I suppose? Never thought of that. That makes sense. If you've never been loved, you wouldn't really know what love is. And how then would you bring it to others if you don't even understand it yourself or you never experienced it? But each of us is loved by God with a special kind of love. Now, you're loved by parents and, you know, friends and relatives and things too. That's a different kind of love. But this love from God, wow, it's a perfect love. It's an all-encompassing love. It's something that we can't even really describe. But we get the benefit of it because we feel that love God has for us. We acknowledge it, and we go forth and love others. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Okay, love and hate, opposites like we've addressed before. And hate, a very, very strong word. I don't know that personally I've ever hated anyone before. I'm trying to think about people that have, you know, got under my skin or something like that in the past, or maybe were mean to me, but hate is like a cruel depravity. I mean, it's plotting and scheming for the fall of another, and I mean, that's pretty dang serious stuff, isn't it? As Christians, obviously, we don't do that. And, you know, maybe people have done that in their past, and that's all right. If it was before you were born again, if before you had that encounter with God and your life was turned upside down, changed, the furniture was rearranged inside you, and yeah. And whatever you did before that, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you came from, what you did. When you give your life to Christ, when you repent of all that, you turn from it. It's all in the past. It's as far as the east is from the west, so it doesn't matter what you've done. You could have been the most horrible person that's ever existed, but once you turn to God, once you accept his gift of salvation, you're not that person anymore. You're a totally new person. So yeah, we don't hate this new person within us, and we don't. We be kind to others. At other times, we might choose to be silent. okay? And you've maybe heard that from your parents growing up or something. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all, right? So maybe sometimes we remain a little silent, but no, we definitely don't hate. That would be evidence that someone has not been changed, that they are not of Christ. If they are hating someone else, they still got work to do. They still got work to do, or else God still has work to do in them. But again, we have to give God permission to change us too, don't we? We have choices. We have free will. We can choose to let him in and change us, or we could continue in our own way. I would hope that everybody seated here and those of you listening online have given God entry and have given him permission and allowed him to come in and make those changes so you can be more like him. And if you find yourself still in hate, there's still work to do. Anybody says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Yeah, God doesn't like lying. It's one of his top 10 things, right? Tell the truth. Be the truth. Live the truth. For if anyone does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. Okay, we can see the things around us, we can embrace them, but something that we can't see, it's a little tougher. We can't see God. But you can see evidence of him. You can feel him. You can experience his spirit in all these other ways. We're not seeing him with our five senses, really. But when you get to experience him, when you just get that feeling of the spirit, there's nothing like it. It's great. When you see people loving one another, being kind and doing things, setting aside their own needs for those of others, you're seeing them serve God too. So we see the evidence everywhere. And that's sort of a cool thing. And we all have a spirit within us. God is spirit, and we can connect to him because we have spirit. Our physical parts and our normal brain stuff, they have a hard time with that. But if we can get more in touch with our spirit and connect with him who is spirit, you know, that's the way we can connect. That develop that spiritual side for sure, you know, through prayer, through reading, through meditation, through time with God. Develop your spiritual life and that you may live in it more and connect with God more as a result. It's a wonderful thing. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Okay, so if you love God, you have to love your brother. The word must here, I underlined it in red. Must love your brother. Not just when you want to, not just when it's convenient, but you must love your brother. Now, this is not your sibling brother, right? This is your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I would suggest even those in the world around us, so we have to show them love as well. If we're Christians, we should. And again, it's an active thing. Love is not passive, it is active. It's something we do. Love ought to be a verb. You know, it has a verb form, to love one another. That is the verb form. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Okay, yeah, there we go. So how do we love, and why do we love? How we set aside what we want to be there for others. We give of ourselves. We are compassionate to others. At the very least, that t-shirt that says, be kind. We're kind to others. We meet their needs, like we heard about in the gospel today. We'll get there in just a bit. So that's how we love. But why do we love? Well, because he first loved us, it tells us. But 1 Corinthians, Paul also writes, do everything in love. It's the motive. It's why we do what we do. And it doesn't say some things. Again, this is everything in love. Sort of like the must in the last reading there. Here's an everything. There's no exceptions to this. Do everything in love. Let it be the motive for everything you do. To be kind to others, to care for others, to be there for others. You know, even when they're not there for you or kind to you, we don't repay evil with evil. We overcome evil with good. And it's humbling. And it's real, and it's how we ought to live our lives as Christians. The other cool thing is if you're doing everything out of love, you're doing good things. Can you do bad things out of love? No, you can't. You can do things that might appear mean sometimes out of love. You know, if it's for the little kid's best interest, you give them a little swat on the behind, but you're doing it because you care, and you don't. If they were approaching danger, trying to run the street or something like that, you know, you redirect them. You're not doing anything evil in that case. You're doing what's for their good. You're training them up right? You're bringing them up right. You're showing them the danger. And we ought to be bringing up kids in the faith as well, too, because there's a lot of dangers out there. Yeah, when the two-year-old runs towards the street, you know, you catch them and give them a little swat on the butt and say, hey, don't do that. But when kids chase after other things as they get a little bit older, do we need redirection? Even at our age, perhaps? Occasionally, redirection and guidance. And it's out of love. I probably put my parents through a fair amount in my teenage years and stuff like that, and I didn't think it was fair that I had to be in at 10 o'clock when other people got to stay out really late. You know, and years later, I thanked them. I thanked them. Thank you. Now I see it. Now I understand. The two-year-old later on understands the danger of the freeway or the highway or whatever, too. Yeah, you understand later on. So raise up your kids, your grandkids, nieces, nephews, whatever. If they start to stray a little bit in the faith or something like that, redirect them. Give them that guidance. But out of love, we do it out of love and in a loving way. In a loving way. Because love does no wrong. If you're doing it out of love, you're doing something good. You're doing the right thing. I can't really think of any exceptions to that one. If you do, hey, let me know if later on this week or something like that. I'd be interested, but no. You're doing it for the right purpose, from the right motive. And again, do everything in love. If love is our motive, we're doing everything right. We're doing everything good. Are we human? Are we going to always do that? Yeah, we are human, and we're not always going to do what we should, right? But we do our best and turn it over to God because he is good. All right, finally the gospel for today, the sheep and the goats, that judgment. This one, setting the scene for this. Jesus does that in the first part of it, the first verse of it. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on the throne in heavenly glory. Wow. Okay, I love reading. I'm always reading a novel, it seems, or something, or some good book. And I visualize, of course, when I'm reading, I visualize. That's what I love about reading. You get to see it a certain way. In movies, you don't get to see it the same, right? You don't get inside the character's head, and you see it the way that the film director decided to portray it. And sometimes you read the book, and you just see things in a certain way, and later on you see the movie, and it just ruins it. And you can't even recall how you saw it in the book anymore, because now you got this movie thing in your head. But anyway, visualizing. And if we visualize this, just imagine this. The Son of Man, all the angels with him sitting on the throne in heavenly glory. I think we'd all be falling down and worshiping and just be in awe. I think there's the word awe. A-W-E. We would be in awe, total awe, to see all the angels. And there's myriads of them, thousands and thousands and thousands to ten thousands of angels. That's what it says here. Yeah, it says all the angels. It'd be enough to see a thousand, but this is all of them surrounding him on his throne, all of them with him, and he's sitting on the throne. Wow. So there's the scene that this takes place. This is, some might see it as a parable. It's prophecy. It's going to happen. It says when the Son of Man comes in his glory, when he does, it's prophecy. This judgment will happen. And what an incredible setting. You try to imagine that. And all the nations gathered before him. So you got him on the throne, all the angels. Then we have all the nations, everybody gathered before him. And he's going to separate them. The righteous from the unrighteous, the sheep from the goats. I've read this many times, as I'm sure you have as well, and one cool thing about the living word is the Holy Spirit will just bring it alive in a new way to you. You know, just that imagining part is a new way to me. I hadn't thought of that prior to when I'm up here preaching it. I'd never really fully imagined it, and wow. And then we got these people that were nice to others, not realizing that in the process they were being nice to Jesus. They were feeding him and giving him water, giving him shelter and clothing, and visiting him when he was sick or in prison, etc. And then the ones that didn't. You think about the goats, the people that did not. They didn't do anything evil. They didn't do any harm. They didn't speak ill of anyone. They didn't attack anyone. They were just simply indifferent. They had done nothing wrong, really, but they're indifferent. And that was enough for Jesus to say, be gone. Because they didn't do it. Because they didn't love one another. They didn't feed the hungry, clothe those that needed it, give water to those who were thirsty, etc. They were indifferent. They were complacent. They just sort of let things happen and didn't take a part. Again, as Christians, it's an active thing, not passive. It's active. We are doing these things. As a congregation, we're doing it, right? We got our food card program. We're feeding the hungry. We're sending monthly donations over to India where people are being reached with the gospel and the good news of the gospel, and also with skills to learn and develop their lives and meeting their needs. We've contributed to many, many different things. And that's one thing I love about Shalom, that a minimum of 10% of what we take in goes out. And that's cool to think about. When you're writing out your offering check, or else when you're clicking submit, give online, however you do it, just know that 10% of that is going out into the community and the world to make a difference. Not every church does that. Some will just meet their budget and what's left over. Maybe they'll give some or something. But that's who we are and what we do. I love it. It's a great place to pastor here. So these people that are indifferent, there's a quotation or a quote that says, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. If we just sit by and let it happen, there's a danger in that. We have to be active. We have to make our voice heard. We have to make a difference. Rather than being indifferent, we have to make a difference. When I read this, and I'm convicted by it, I'm thinking, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough to feed the hungry, to take in those that don't have a place to stay? Is there more I could be doing? Yeah, I guess it should convict us. It's not going to set us over here with the goats, because remember, we don't earn salvation. It's not because of what we do. We are saved by grace through faith. And this of God's doing, not of our own, that no one should boast. It's what he has done for us. We simply accept the free gift of salvation by putting our faith into him, by believing in him. And that's the sheep part then. Once we accept that, we are changed, and we can't help but to feed the hungry, to give water to the thirsty, to give shelter, to give food, to provide for people. Because then it becomes of what we do as Christians, that's what we do. We are kind to others. So that's how we're counted with the sheep right there. And we don't, again, earn our way into heaven. So it's a natural response, not trying to earn. God has loved us. We love others as a result, just like we heard in 1 John today. We love because He first loved us. It comes into us, and we've let it flow out to others. We cannot stockpile love. You cannot store love. A lot of other things you can. You know, you get blessed in some ways, you can stockpile it. You can store it up. You know, maybe you got a lot of grain in your silo or something like that, or you got a lot of money in your bank account. But it's not that way with love. You can't just store it up. It's something that we give away, that flows out, that it's active. Alrighty, so we are kind to others, and it's not just water, it's not just food, it's not just shelter, it's a giving of our time as well. People like Roger heading over in the nursing home and just spending time with others. It doesn't cost us anything, just a little bit of our time, but what an incredible blessing to others. There are so many ways that we can be kind to others. There are so many ways that we can witness to the love that we've experienced from God by loving others. So many opportunities every day, and when we do so, let's give God the glory too. You know, let people know I'm doing this because, you know, I'm a Christian. And that way, you're spreading the Christianity and the glory of God. Let us be active in that, actively spreading it, actively inviting people to come here and experience God. I mean, how many have experienced God here through worship? Yeah, absolutely. It's alive in this place, the experiencing of God. And it's just incredible. Invite others to come and see, to come and experience for sure. That they may be changed. That they may be a part of the sheep then that are going out there and actively loving others. To sharing what they have. And to do what you can where you are with what you got. Maybe you don't have a whole lot, but you can still find ways to serve others and to give them the good news of the kingdom. Because after all, Christianity is active. Again, it cannot be passive, it's active. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's not something you just watch happen. We are out there on the field making it happen. And that field is actually a battlefield too. We're out there fighting against the enemy. By advancing the kingdom, by loving others, we are fighting on the right side by doing it. So instead of being indifferent, let us make a difference. Let us be active in our faith. Amen.